Well, it is out of here. A three-homer night for Aubrey Huff, and the Giants tack on. And the first pitch is driven high and deep into right center field. Garrett Jones back. Garrett Jones off of archway number 7. Aubrey Huff on the move. Here he comes. They're going to wave him in. Here's the throw. Not in time.
That's right, Mr. Huff. You hit home runs here, you got to earn them.
You know, guys, I have a lot of regrets in my life, but I think the one thing I regret the most...
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
...is taking my first Adderall.
What is it with these crazy nut jobs and Adderall? Aubrey Huff. In better times. In better times, Aubrey. Oh, how we wish we knew thee. Well, we know thee now. I feel like we have a much better idea of who Aubrey Huff is ever since social media became a thing. Oh, the joys of social media. What's up, Las Vegas? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into the Mac Attack. I'm Ryan McKinnell. Got Chris Chapman across the way. Plenty of Vegas Golden Knights news to get to today. Some NFL playoffs. And, well, you heard it there in the open. One Aubrey Huff. Why on God's green earth would we be playing Aubrey Huff highlights today, Chris? What was your motivations behind that?
Well, last night the Golden Knights game did not start out very well for the Golden Knights, so I was scrolling through Twitter and I came across a tweet from Jeff Perlman,
the political correspondent.
Yeah, I believe he is. I know he also is a baseball writer.
He was, yeah. In a prior life. Yes.
I think he wrote The Bad Guys 1, which is about the 86 New York Mets, and I actually own that book. So it's a fantastic
read.
He's got
some serious credibility.
Yeah, he's a legit guy. And yeah. Basically, he quote tweeted something from Aubrey Huff, which was later deleted, by the way.
Jeff Perlman deleted it?
No. Aubrey Huff deleted the tweet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Aubrey Huff deleted the tweet.
Which is why I had to screenshot it when I sent it to you.
Well, I got
to
be honest. That doesn't surprise me. For those of you that don't know, let me get you caught up very quickly on Aubrey Huff. He's Curt Schilling, but playing offense. And I mean that in the most non-complimentary way possible. If you followed Curt Schilling, I don't care what your political affiliation is. If you followed him on Twitter, like he's a psychopath. Like he has said some ridiculous stuff. And Aubrey Huff has doubled down on that in the last year. Since Aubrey Huff got a Twitter account, we all found out how bat blank crazy Aubrey Huff is. Here's an example from November 25th. From November 25th, when the impeachment stuff was starting to rile up and, you know, polls were being released. And I mean, it was only a couple months ago, but he sent out this tweet and it was at a gun range, which is fine. I like guns. I've owned guns since I started shooting on a 410 pheasant hunting, grew up in Indiana and Eastern PA, and all my friends are hunters. And in the winter, you'd be dressing deers in your garage. You'd walk into a garage to take a smoke break and there'd be a big dead deer hanging in the garage. You'd be like, oh, okay. Way of life. I have a problem with guns. I mean, I have a problem with, you know, weapons of war, but it's an entirely different story. Well, it is and it isn't, but not something we really need to get into, right? I'm just trying to let you know this isn't a bias on my end. It's just, well, it's a concern from crazy people having access to social media and spewing their craziness to other crazies. Because this post right now that I'm about to get into had 10,900 favorites on Twitter. Quote, getting my, and again, he's at a gun range, getting my boys trained up on how to use a gun in the unlikely event Bernie Sanders beats real Donald Trump in 2020, in which case knowing how to effectively use a gun under socialism will be a must. By the way, most headshots were theirs.
By the way, that's his pinned.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I had that locked away in the back of my head. I was like, whatever you're going to say, that's what I'm following with. Let's think about that. That's the tweet he's most proud of.
Yes, the fact that he is proud of the idea that he may have to kill fellow Americans because of how they decide to vote in 2020.
I also have no idea how this tweet is still up under the Twitter violation rules. But that's beside the point.
Well, how is the Secret Service? Well, I guess Sanders probably doesn't have the Secret Service treatment yet.
Right. But if he gets president, I would hope that Aubrey Huff
is a U.S. senator.
Right. So Aubrey Huff is not endearing himself to a lot of people. I mean, there's some people that like that, clearly, but those people are psychopaths. You disagree on politics, but immediately when you start bringing weapons in and making threats and talking about your kids hitting headshots and talking about how tough you are and socialism and all that, okay, all right, Aubrey. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. This is America. Everyone owns guns. Calm down, tough guy.
Yeah.
But besides that.
I always like the assumption that only they have the guns.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's funny. But that's not the this is really, again, not the point I'm trying to get to. I'm just trying to highlight what type of person Aubrey Huff is and his willingness to bring this to social media and his disillusionment. And clearly, it's brought a lot of controversy, which is what he wanted. Hey, fine. Do you, Aubrey? Do you? But that comes with consequences. And this is, this is sweet. This is sweet. This is sweet stuff. This is, it's justice. It's hilarious. And it is one of my favorite tweets in the history of Twitter. Jeff Perlman, you mentioned him. Long history with baseball. Covered some World Series. As Magnum said, wrote that Mets book. What was the name of that Mets book?
The Bad Guys Won.
The Bad Guys Won. Now he does all sorts of stuff. Now he's with the New York Times. He reports on all sorts of stuff. Some with a political angle, some with not. I think he also wrote a book on one of my favorite athletes, Walter Payton. So it's not just relegated to baseball or whatever. He's a great sports writer. But he covered Aubrey Huff's career. And Aubrey Huff has also been making just like crazy tweets about women and masculinity and machismo and all this stuff and how we're all soft. You know what? You ever notice that the people that come out and say that stuff and have thoughts on where men are and the loss of manliness in society are like the least manly, whiny, complaining bunch of dorks on the planet? I mean, you just got engaged.
Yeah.
I've been married for 10 years. Okay, maybe not 10, but I've been with my wife for 11 or 12. I have never had problem with women, and I've never virtue signaled or anything like that, and I've never thought there was a war against men. There's not a war against men.
No.
There's not a war against Christmas. There's not a war against comedy. You're all sensitive, and you're all cowards, and you're all complainers, and you're all snowflakes.
Well,
Aubrey Huff fits that bill to a T. It is constant bombardment of these ridiculous. Like, here's the tweet that really set Jeff Perlman off. I'm going to get to it with Aubrey Huff. He said, Aubrey Huff said, let's get a flight over and kidnap about 10 each. We can bring them back here as they fan us and feed us grapes, amongst other things. Talking about women. He's talking about some supermodels or something. He's like, let's get a flight over there and kidnap about 10 each. We can bring them back here as they fan us and feed us grapes. Actually, I don't know what he was talking about. Maybe he was talking about, either way.
Oh, no.
You know what he was talking about?
He later clarified what he was talking about.
Okay.
He said, this was yesterday. Does nobody have a sense of humor anymore? Actually, shouldn't it be, does anybody have a sense of humor? The way Iranian women are treated over there, I simply wanted to say I'd go there to rescue them and bring them back to the States, and they would be so thankful to escape that hell that they'd fan me and feed me grapes.
Okay, so he was talking about Iranian women.
Yeah, he is a...
Let's get a flight over there, kidnap about 10 each. We can bring them back here as they fan us and feed us grapes, among other things. Okay, you're not a comedian, Aubrey Huff. You've got, I mean, that pin tweet that's on your Twitter that says, well, essentially you're going to start a war or teach your kids to do headshots if Bernie Sanders becomes president. Anyway, that's the type of person Aubrey Huff is. Also the type of person that Aubrey Huff is, I don't know how to phrase this. There's a reason why he's so insecure. Jeff Perlman, who has spent many, 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 many nights in Major League Baseball locker rooms, including locker rooms that Aubrey Huff was in, Jeff Perlman quote tweeted that tweet about Aubrey Huff wanting to kidnap Iranian women and make them feed grapes. This is Jeff Perlman. I covered MLB for 6 years. I can assure you Aubrey Huff has the teeny tiny penis this tweet suggests. That is... a reckoning the likes of which, I mean, that's a schoolyard beatdown, Magnum.
Yeah. Well, Huff fired back, and he's drawn pictures of him with his, well, never mind. But he's continuing on in light of today's post about rescuing Iranian women from that, well, I'm not going to repeat the word, but it's a four-letter word that starts with S, hole. This is what I would imagine grateful Iranian women would do to show their appreciation to any man who saved them from the word I can't say on the radio, begins with A, ends with holes, that beat them and make them wear a long tunic and scarf in 100-degree heat. And it's a drawing of stick figures with him laying in a couch. Three women all have female parts fanning him. I don't know what they're saying, but there's a little caption of them reading, saying something. So he's pretty sick, actually, because someone tweeted at him in Islam, in Arabic, and he quote tweeted it and said, "Come on, guys, if you're going to private message me, no more Spanish, please. English people." Well, clearly he is trolling them because it's written clearly in Arabic.
Well, but it doesn't matter because he got the nuclear bomb of all nuclear bombs dropped on his Twitter account. Jeff Perlman has seen your package, dude.
Yeah.
And it is tiny. And he is a credible source. I actually believe that Jeff Perlman has seen Aubrey Huff's Winky, and it is microscopic.
Oh, and for the record, there is actually a tie-in to Aubrey Huff and last night's Golden Knights game, believe it or not. Are you ready for this tie-in?
I'm absolutely ready. And I'm also ready to start talking about the Vegas Golden Knights. Any more talk about Aubrey Huff and his micropeen?
Do you remember who rang the siren to start the game last night?
No. I don't know if I was...
Detroit Lions wide receiver?
Oh, yeah.
From Las Vegas?
Right.
Tyrell Crosby?
Okay.
So he tweeted at Jeff or at Aubrey Huff, "For being a two-time world champion, you truly are a loser." Huff quote tweeted him, "Hang in there, buddy. Maybe you'll get your two rings someday. I take that back. Not with the at Lions, you won't." Crosby came back and said, "Like I said, you might have two rings, but at least I have people's respect and can look in the mirror and be proud of the example I set for others." I think that's a pretty good comeback.
That is a great comeback.
So Huff comes back. "I look in the mirror and love... multiple O's, what I see. I'm hot, shredded, and retired. It's a pretty good gig if you can get it. Enjoy the grind while it lasts, big man. It goes fast, especially in the NFL. Best of luck."
He's got to hype himself up like his boy Donnie.
Yeah.
He's got to tell everyone, "I'm hot. I'm talented. I am a very stable genius.
Let's look at the connections here.
Jesus.
Right? It's the love affair with weapons of war.
Yeah.
Like he...
Objectifying women.
Adderall.
Yeah.
Narcissistic disorder.
That's true.
They're basically, it's the Spider-Man meme. Except Aubrey Huff has actually accomplished things.
Speaking of Adderall, 58 sniffs today during Trump's press conference. I was going to mention that. 58 sniffs.
I saw it trending on Twitter, and I just assumed that they were watching his speech.
Yeah, and he misspoke like six different
and
words.
Slurred and slurred and lied.
And listen, it's
about
not
pallets of cash that aren't real.
It's not easy, right? Speaking publicly and speaking into a microphone, I get it, but... Anyhow, nice natural segue there. You bring in the ringing of the siren last night for the Vegas Golden Knights. They couldn't get it done.
That was kind of like the highlight of the night.
Actually, the highlight of the night was at least at T-Mobile Arena. In my text box, the highlight of the night was absolutely Jeff Perlman, which is why we were leading the show with it tonight. I'll get back to that. Just the nuclear heat that brings. Like you can, I would delete my Twitter. This man, anyway. I could go down that rabbit hole forever. We don't want to do that. So back to the Knights. They fall behind early, and they couldn't come back and snag the lead, although they tried. They tried. There was a valiant effort from the Knights. Obviously, the winning streak comes to an end, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, I believe they are 7-1 on their last 8 road games.
They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're a pretty good team. And you know what? Honestly, Magnum, it showed last night. Like, it felt... And I know that the Knights outshot the Penguins. That is a weird-ass game in that regard. When you say the stat sheet doesn't tell the whole story, because you would look at that and you would think, oh, the Vegas Golden Knights, they outplayed the Pittsburgh Penguins. They had 20 more shots. It's not whatever the final number was, right? When in reality, Magnum, it felt like the complete opposite. It felt like the Pittsburgh Penguins were the faster team. It felt like the Pittsburgh Penguins were the better team. And, I mean, that's kind of how it played out. Now, there's a lot of discussion today about one Marc-Andre Fleury. He has not been playing particularly well, despite, again, 4 wins in a row. But that came at the cost of Fleury giving up multiple goals.
Well, yeah, he played well against 2 Pacific Division teams. Yeah. But then the Flyers came in, they gave up 4 goals. St. Louis Blues come in, they give up 4 goals. Last night, give up 4 goals. Now, Not all of them are his fault. I mean, clearly the Malkin goal, the first goal of the game.
That was Nate Schmidt.
There's nothing that Marc-Andre Fleury, no goalie in the NHL is stopping that shot.
And that was, again, Nate Schmidt with
trying to make a pass that
turnover.
He probably should not, looking back, he probably regrets attempting to make.
And it's fine. Mistakes happen.
But like, here's the thing. Like, I think the problem, and I'm glad you brought up Nate Schmidt, because Nate Schmidt has struggled the last couple of weeks. And I think the problem is Schmidt plays a really good game for almost the entire game. But the mistakes he's made have been glaring mistakes.
Right. So people stick with him.
And yeah, I mean, we all like Nate. I mean, he's a good player. He's certainly a valuable member of the organization. He's a guy that the guys in the team really seem to appreciate and like. But I mean, we have to be honest about it. He has made some glaring mistakes, and the first goal last night was clearly on Nate Schmidt's making an errant pass that ended up on the stick of a Pittsburgh Penguin and eventually ended up on the stick of Evgeny Malkin, who put it in the back of the net.
Well, you said the Malkin goal. You're talking about the Malkin goal there. That really set off, I mean, not an avalanche, but it really set the pace for that first period.
Yeah. I mean, the scary thing is, I'm not a big believer. Like I think sometimes people look too much into save percentage and, you know, I mean, not to say that they're not important stats.
But you can become obsessed with them. You can focus on them when it's not the real issue.
When you allow four goals on 16 shots,
that's
not good save percentage. No. But the problem is, at least two of those goals, you could say really weren't Marc-Andre Fleury's fault. I felt like the third goal, I believe it was, I can't remember who scored it, but it was a third goal where they went right around Nick Hague, who just didn't have the wheels to keep up with.
Yeah.
With who it was who scored for Pittsburgh, and Fleury made a mistake on the poke check, and it ends up in the back of the net.
And I'll tell you what, Nick Hague didn't have a terrible game. He made a couple really good plays. Yeah, he actually saved a play late in the third,
I believe. He's been playing really well
as of
late.
He has.
It seems like the confidence is there with Nick now.
Yeah. So I agree with you on last night. A couple goals were not Marc-Andre Fleury's fault. Fact remains, 12 goals, 3 games.
Yeah, that's...
It's not good.
No.
I'm not as concerned as some people. Like, if you look at some of the Twitter responses last night, Ryan the Hockey Guy sent out a tweet. Was like, well, what do you blame for tonight's loss? And it was just a bombardment. And a lot of it was Fleury.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of people prefacing and saying, hey, listen, you know, I don't want to pile on Fleury, but you can't also deny this decline that's happened over the last few games. I don't know if it's the loss of his father, yada, 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 or the fact that he's getting later into the season and he is getting older. I mean, Magnum, yesterday, Ed Graney had a column. He spoke to Marc-Andre Fleury, and he essentially...
It sounded like he's thinking about retirement.
Well, he did. It did. And that's concerning. And listen, remember Michael Jordan and his father when he lost his father? Now, I understand those were under much different circumstances, much more sudden, much more unpredictable. Again, but the loss is a loss is a loss. You lose your father, it changes you fundamentally. Both you and I have lost our fathers.
Yes.
It does change you. It changes your outlook on life. It's a seminal moment in anyone's life when you lose a parent.
Yeah, I mean, my father has never had the ability to see me do what I'm doing today.
Sure, same thing. Well, I mean, to an extent, right?
You know, like my father will never see me interviewing players on the Golden Knights.
Right.
He'll never see me talking to Brian Salmon on Channel 3. He'll never see those things.
Right. It changes you, right? So I wonder, I don't know, but Fleury's never really talked like that before.
Yeah.
Now, it was a softer delivery. Essentially, what he said was, I know that I have... What was the exact quote? Damn it. Now I want to bring it up because I don't want to misrepresent it.
But I feel like with Fleury, he knows that... I mean, look, he's in his early 30s.
Right.
He was the number one overall draft pick, I think, in 2003. So, I mean, he's been in the league a long, long time. Maybe not 2003, maybe not that far back. But he's been in the league a really long time, enough to be hovering around top five all-time in wins, which is not something you accomplish in 5 or 6 seasons. I mean, you need to be good for a very long time to get there when you consider how long the league has been in existence and how many great goalies have played the game.
So let's look at it, right? The quote, which I have right here. I'm going to read it to you in a second. The fact that he is not playing in the All-Star game, which is honestly, who has more fun at the NHL All-Star weekend than Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yeah, I mean, he would probably be playing jokes on guys on his team.
Right, and he has those shootout challenges. Like he clearly loves the All-Star game, so he's not doing that. And here's the quote that he said to Ed Graney yesterday. Marc-Andre Fleury on his career as he, again, prepares to face the Penguins. Quote, I know the end is coming sooner than later. Feels a lot closer. What's the saying? There's a lot more behind me than in front. I know that. I try to make the best out of every day. That, I want to say it's concerning because whenever Fleury steps away, thank you. I mean, he can walk away this season and it's...
That sounds like a guy who is still dealing with the effects of losing a very close relative.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I think I can't speak for you, but when I lost my father, I lost my brother as well. So I mean, I've been through it twice, and both times I've had real moments of reflection on what am I doing with my life, mm-hmm. like.
And could you imagine if you were the starting goaltender of a Pacific leading NHL team?
I'm a nobody, right. and I've gone through that. So I can't imagine the amount of pressure on, I mean, my father passed away. I got on a plane 2 weeks later and flew back to Asia because that's where I was living.
But in the middle of a hockey season?
Yes. Right. To have the immense amount of pressure that this guy has on him, and then you factor in his dad was sick. He knew for a while.
Yep.
It happened.
The mental strain the anxiety, that pressure that puts on your chest.
And I'm sure being back with your teammates and your friends and your family, I mean, because these guys are family, and you listen to the way that those guys talk about Marc-Andre Fleury, he is their brother. Like, there is, I mean, even Riley Smith today, he was talking about, he's like, look, nobody in this, his quote was, nobody in this room or in this organization will ever blame Marc-Andre Fleury for us losing a game.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. The amount of respect he has, not only in this locker room, but across the league, is immense. So, but you still have that loss, that void. You know, I don't know what his routine was with his dad. Maybe he would talk to his dad after every single game. Like, there's guys who do that. I don't know how much influence his father had in his career coaching him when he was young. Like, I don't know any of that. But I would imagine that void that's no longer there or that's there, it's got to be almost unfathomable when you factor in this guy is an all-star.
And you don't get proper time to mourn. You and I both know that. You need a time to go through your emotions. You need to have some time to have some quiet. He's not having any
of
that.
And then you factor in, look, I mean, again, people, these for someone who makes the amount of money he makes, that people may say it's trivial, but I mean, you know, the paperwork you have to deal with, the funeral arrangements, the life insurance, all that stuff, dealing with pensions and all that. I mean, I don't know. I imagine they have Social Security in Canada, but handling that stuff, I mean, I don't know what his family situation is. I've never really talked to him about brothers and sisters or anything like that. But to have to deal with that, and for people who are, oh, he's a multimillionaire. He doesn't.
None of that matters.
It's nonsense.
No, none of that matters.
You still have to deal with.
Right.
With the arrangements and all that stuff, and it's stressful.
Yeah. No, the epitome of money can't buy happiness or comfort or calmness. It is of course it's always worse when you don't have money. Of course, I'm not being as flippant to suggest that you know having a ton of money doesn't help in some regards. But Marc-Andre Fleury is still human, and I think we're seeing some of that humanity right now. All right, turn the page. You had the chance, Magnum. Obviously, as you always do, to ask some questions and be in the locker room after the game. What was the vibe like after the game?
I don't really feel like it was bad. You know, I didn't have a chance to talk to Fleury after the game.
Did he speak at all?
Yeah, he did speak to the media.
Okay.
I talked to Paul Stastny, Cody Eakin, who basically said he felt good out there.
Good.
Not a whole lot else from Cody. I mean, obviously, his line really didn't have a huge night.
No.
But... you know, I also spoke with Max Pacioretty, who I know nobody on this team wears a C, but to me, Max Pacioretty is the guy who is the captain of this team.
Mm.
Win or lose, Max Pacioretty is out there. When there's a scrum on the ice, Max Pacioretty finds his way in the middle of it. When young guys get taken out, Max Pacioretty is the guy who is sticking up for them. So, to me, he is the captain of the team, and he speaks to us win or lose. He never changes the way he handles the media. I think the way he plays on the ice is as a leader.
Yeah.
He leads by example.
And you had the chance to talk to Max Pacioretty.
Yes, I did.
Now, I haven't heard this.
Oh, you're going? You'll like it.
I'll like this? All right, yeah. Max Pacioretty talking to Magnum last night.
Putting together a full 60 minutes tends to be a bugaboo for this team. So when you start out slow, what goes on during the course of the game to try to get back into it?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to label our team as a team that doesn't play for 60 minutes. This is a league. It's a one-goal league now. Every team you play against is going to have stretches in a game where they're going to where they're going to play well. So don't expect the team ever to dominate 60 minutes. We want to play well for 60 minutes, but don't expect their team to dominate for 60 minutes, because that's just not realistic every game in this league. So I think it's unfair to label our team that way. But at the same time, we do have to come out and play better as a unit of five right from the start. And as we mentioned, that first period, there's some times in that first period where we, our support wasn't there, and we end up paying the price. But at the same time, that's a good team over there, and you know that they're not just going to get outplayed for 60 minutes. But in the second and third, we probably were, you know, the better team there and gave ourselves an opportunity to come back.
No, I think that was a great question, man. I haven't heard that, but that was my first time hearing it. You set it up. You got a great answer out of Max Pacioretty, and I think that's a fair question to ask the Knights. I get why Pacioretty made the comment he made, but it's certainly, when you look at years one and two, and especially at home, when you talk about this team getting off to quick starts, it just feels like this year, and I don't have stats right now to look in front of me to back this up, but there are definitely slow starts happening, and it does seem that this team takes a little bit to get started. So I like Pacioretty's answer, and I liked your setup and your question. I want to bring up something about Cody Eakin, because you mentioned his game, first game back was last night. Yes. After some time off. A stat from our pal Tyler Bischoff, host of Technically Correct over there. Morning show, 10 and 11. Well, morning, mid-afternoon, early afternoon. On our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas, he had this stat. The Golden Knights' record this season, without Cody Eakin in the lineup, 13-6-9. With Cody in the lineup, 11-10-3. Anything there?
Yeah, I think you could read a little bit into that. I mean, look, there's a large enough sample size for people to make a determination on whether or not this team is better with Cody Eakin in or out of the lineup. Now, I got some pushback from other members of the media last night, but I kind of feel like it was a mistake. Maybe not to play him, but to adjust multiple lines to put him at third line center. Because by doing so, you bump Stastny up to the second line. And look, the second line was phenomenal, right? The Stone, Stastny, Pacioretty line.
Which they always are.
They were by far and away the best line on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd move Stevenson up to the first line.
Which was first Marchessault.
From Marchessault.
Right.
But then you adjust the third line. You now have Cody Eakin, Alex Tuck, and William Carrier, who had not played together as a unit yet this season. Now, I understand you also were missing Cody Glass, so you had to find a replacement there.
Right.
But I'm not so sure I would have messed up the other two lines. What I may have done was I may have just moved Eakin in at fourth line center and left Stastny where he was.
Yeah.
And then maybe put William Carrier on the first line just to give him a chance and see what he could do playing with those with Riley Smith and William Karlsson. Because the last couple of weeks, Carrier's been playing phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe he's earned that opportunity, but I'm not a hockey coach, so I'm not going to question the motives of Gerard Gallant, because, look, he obviously knows a lot about the game. He knows a lot more than I ever will. But I just wonder about putting Cody Eakin in that third line center, because I felt like maybe you may have messed a little bit with the chemistry. Yeah. And early on it seemed like they weren't really firing on all cylinders. But, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. The LA Kings, my guess is Malcolm Subban will be in net tomorrow.
I would think so. When you look at the last three games, we said four goals each game in the last three games. It would also, it's a lesser team. It would stand to reason that you can give Marc-Andre Fleury the night off.
Yes.
Columbus. Columbus comes into town on Saturday. I wouldn't hate that.
Then you go on a long road trip.
A really long road trip. Yeah. About a month, it feels like, especially with the All-Star.
I will also guess that Jonathan Marchessault, even though yeah, Gallant was non-committal, still day-to-day, my guess is Jonathan Marchessault will be back tomorrow night.
Okay. That is the prediction from one Chris Magnum Chapman. Hey, Chapman, we got some tickets to give away today?
Yeah, we do.
We do?
The Disney on Ice?
Disney on Ice tickets. All right. We got a four-pack of Disney on Ice tickets to give away. We're going to come back. We're going to give you a trivia question, and then the next break you can call in. You know the number. It's 365-9200, but you're going to have to stick around. We're going to give you that trivia question coming up in the next segment, and then you can call in and have your chance to win a family four-pack to see Disney on Ice right here in Las Vegas. And when we come back, we're going to get into some news in the XFL. News is trickling in. We know the XFL is coming along shortly.
They're God, I here. Wish I had it. This is the XFL.
Why do we need the drop when you can do such a great Vince McMahon, Chris Chapman? So we have a little bit more clarity on the XFL, including some of the new rules that they are going to bring in. And I am laughing at you, Vince McMahon. What's new?
You're listening to The Mac Attack.
All right, we are back here on the Mac Attack. Stay tuned for your chance to win. Family four-pack out there to see Disney on Ice. Got a trivia question coming up here in the next 15 minutes that you can call in and answer. Two winners today. 365-9200, 365-9200. Get your chance to win a family four-pack to Disney on Ice. It's going to be an easy one. I feel like they will get progressively harder as the year goes on. But I don't want to, you know.
Well, it's like spring training right now.
Right. I want to let you know,
roll the minor leaguers out.
I don't want anyone to lose. I don't want you not have to have a chance at it. We want to give them away. So it should be doable. You should be able to get it. I feel confident. All right, so the XFL Magnum. You remember the XFL? Hell, the first game
was in Las Vegas.
Right here at Sam Boyd.
What were they, the Locos?
Yes, I think so.
They had that awful logo of the sheep or the Longhorn head.
Honestly, everything. It looked kind of like the Battleborn entry.
Oh, man. No, it wasn't. No, the Battleborn injury lawyer logo
great.
Was cool.
Yeah, no, they took the XFL logo and capitalized
the big,
on it.
The big
it
horn right. sheep.
Yeah.
But this was like the Longhorn steer, you know, like yeah. you see the pictures of the movies from the Old West where there was that skull and it had the horns coming
right,
out.
Right,
yeah.
right.
This is the XFL. Gotta get the oh.
You're really owning that, Vinny Mac.
I've been doing that for 20 years.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not bad.
Well, it was the same as when he would used to do the, you're fired.
Yeah, he drags it. Yeah. He drags it out.
He's gotta get the phlegm back there. Yeah. Yes.
That's his
shtick.
That's when you know he's serious.
Yes.
I think back to that. What was that?
Kiss my ass.
Yeah, no. What was the Beyond the Mat, that documentary they did in the 90s about the WWF and Mick Foley, and they had draws in there, and they wanted to name him
that
Puke.
Poor guy.
Yeah. It's he's going to puke. He's going to puke.
I think that's the guy who broke his neck, right? Yeah, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met him once at the airport. He was a nice guy. Like 6 months later, he.
Yeah. I've heard only great things about draws. But back to the XFL, Vinny Mac. Hey, listen. You can't blame me. I'm a pro wrestling fan. I do my show on Saturdays with Mark Henry.
I wish Las Vegas had a team again.
What? Oh, back in the XFL?
XFL team? Yeah.
I don't, especially after reading these new rules.
Oh, come on. If it's going to fail epically, you want to be a part of it.
Do you?
I think so.
That's what Vegas was in the past. The Wranglers, the Locos.
The Wranglers were fine.
They
it was
were.
The league. It was
yeah,
the,
that's
they,
fair.
They
that's
had
fair.
The issue with the arena. I don't know all the details, but... I know there was an issue with an arena.
My point is that we've had things that haven't worked out here.
Yes.
Now we have the Knights and the Raiders that presumably are going to work out for decades.
What was the choo-choo train that used to be the, what was it, the United Football League? Was that the other one that we had
yes,
here?
I think so.
You know what? No, I was not here at the time.
Yeah.
But there are people who remember the Las Vegas Posse.
What the hell was that?
They were the Canadian Football League team that played in Las Vegas.
No way.
Yeah. One season. In fact, I think they stopped playing with like three games to go.
Wait a minute. How the hell are you going to have a Canadian football team in America?
Because the CFL ventured into the U.S.
What?
Yeah. They ventured. There was the Baltimore Stallions.
When was this?
This was like in the mid-90s. And they scrapped the Baltimore Stallions because they won the championship.
How do I not know this? Wow.
Yes.
Look at that. Learn something new every day. Well, I'm about to give you guys something new. Well, maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't. But the XFL have released their rules. We have an outline here, a rough rundown of what we're talking about. Punt kick rules that encourage returns. So I'm assuming no fair catches.
I like that.
Do you?
Yeah. I want to see returns. That's exciting.
The XFL, sponsored by long-term CTE. No extra point field goals. Options for 1, 2, or 3-point tries.
Well, that's dumb.
Now, see, I like that. Now, where are the point? Damn it, why are we?
Because, and the thing is, like, we didn't talk before, so it's not like I know.
No, I'm glad. I'm just saying, you like kickoffs that don't have any the fair catches, so you're going to get returns, but you don't like, I mean, extra points are dumb.
No, but I don't like the idea of a 1, 2, or 3-point try. So, like,
Rock and jock, baby.
Just
Let's
give
go.
Me.
I want a 20.
Players and the violators,
baby. I want a 25-point option.
Just give me a 2-point conversion on every touchdown. I'm cool with that.
No way. I want more points.
So how far out do they have to be to get to three?
I want a 10-point option from the 50-yard line.
Oh, man. Can you imagine that?
Hail Mary. No, actually 20 points. If you can get a Hail Mary, if that's what you want. Think about it. You're down by 17. You got no way to win the game.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe 50-yard line's not the way to go. Maybe you have to go a little bit further, 40, 30. I don't even know what their yard line is. I hope it's going to be 100. Is it going to be 100-yard field? I don't even know. We don't even know. We're just finding out about these ridiculous rules. Fewer timeouts, so more tired players, which should be great.
Yeah,
for,
that's going to be great the last 2 minutes of a game.
Yeah, that should be one. That should be outstanding. 1 foot in equals a catch. Okay.
Okay, that's like college.
Yeah, I like that. I don't hate that. Dedicated ball spotting ref. Okay. Now, Vinny, you got me. That's good. I don't. Apparently, the NFL doesn't have that.
No.
Okay. That's now. All right. I don't hate that. That might be my favorite thing about this. Next, a shootout overtime from the far 5 yard line. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Pew pew. Shootout.
Jerry loves it.
Yes, he's all on board.
Yeehaw! Texas, baby. Yeah. Okay. So
what is? Do we know what encompasses this shootout from the?
Nope.
Is it like the old NFL quarterback challenge where the guy just whips bullets at a pickup truck with a target in the bed?
Potentially.
That'd be kind of cool. Sign me up for that.
Shootout.
And there's a dog in the studio. See, this is the bad thing about
it's Carlota's new puppy.
Yeah, it's a bad thing about having a big glass door on the studio because we have a
Carlota's puppy. Hi, puppy.
We have a giant, well, not a giant, a puppy. A pretty puppy, by the way.
Oh, man. Easily distracted. You can distract the hell out of me and bring a puppy in the building.
That's the ADD in me.
You know what?
There's a puppy.
I'm going to get back to the XFL because we bring up the puppy. Do you know what happened to me last night at the Vegas Golden Knights game?
Oh, I remember. I saw your tweet.
Dude.
What the hell is wrong with people?
Dude. Vegas, I'm sitting in my section. I look over to my left. This is right before the start of the game. Anthem is just concluded. Puck drop's about to happen. It's a lady with a fur coat and her youngish husband. She's, I'm guessing, late 30s, early 40s.
Fur or faux?
I don't know. I didn't ask her.
Okay.
Judging by her care of animals, it was definitely fur. Because she doesn't give a blank about her. Anyway, I buried the lead. She's got a puppy in her hands, dude. And it's got the service dog animal vest. So the red vest. This puppy can't be more than, it's in her hand. So it's been a while since I've raised a puppy. It's been about 9 years since Polly was a puppy.
How does a puppy get the vest? When he's not actually...
He hasn't been trained.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing that I know about service animals. You can't ask to see any documentation because it's HIPAA.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ask someone about their...
Therapy dog.
Right. Their therapy dog, why they have it, when it was certified. So all you really need to do is get the bootleg vest and you can walk in almost anywhere with a dog.
Ayo, Amazon.
Or, yeah. Exactly. No, I guarantee that's what this lady did. You can bring a llama in. You can do just about anything.
Have you ever seen the video of the woman walking through the airport with a Clydesdale?
No.
Or with a pony?
No.
She had a pony. A service pony.
Yeah, man. I heard about service peacocks. I've heard about service ferrets. I mean, you name an animal, it's probably been used as a service animal.
My service alligator, I'm bringing that bad boy on the plane with me to Japan.
My service white Siberian tiger.
Yes. Siegfried and Roy would be proud.
Moo Moo and Lulu. I don't know. Point being, and listen, I'm not minimalizing service animals. I think they definitely have a place, and I understand the benefit that animals can offer people. It's undeniable, right? I love animals.
We both do, yeah.
This is what drove me crazy. This lady has this puppy at the game, all right? No protection. Again, a puppy, ears still developing. What do we know about dogs? They have extremely sensitive hearing. Right? Smell and hearing. They can hear the high-pitched frequencies, all sorts of stuff, right? They hear it a crazy pitch. This lady brought her new puppy to the game, T-Mobile Arena. Chris, the loudest arena in the NHL that pumps bass in. You're there every game.
Yes.
I'm there almost every game. Our pant legs shake.
Listen,
No, when the bass hits, our pant legs shake. Right?
I heard, and I tweeted this out. I was in the hallway in between the second and third period. And Sidney Crosby, who did not play last night, watched the game in the press box.
Okay.
Now, he was having a conversation with one of the TV broadcasters for the Penguins.
Now, you heard this.
I was literally standing right there. There was also an NHL official. You know, they have the game officials who are the same guys every night.
Right.
He was there as well. I don't know who he was, but he was there. Sidney Crosby was talking to this guy about how impressed he was with how loud the arena is, how into the game the fans are,
yeah,
and just the overall atmosphere. He's like, and the funniest thing is, he's like, not bad for a Tuesday night. It is a Tuesday, right? I think it's Tuesday. I don't know. After Christmas, they all kind of are the same to me, which is the same conversation me, Ryan, and Frank have, because there's either game days or non-game days. But for Sidney Crosby, yeah, the marquee player in the NHL for the last decade, to talk about how loud it is.
That's an endorsement. And
the play-by-play guy, or the broadcaster, was like, yeah, our booth is shaking every time they score a goal.
Yeah. So there you go. That lady, and that's a great story, by the way.
These guys are in every single arena in the league.
Right, and this lady brought a puppy in. I tweeted that out, and people were like, why don't you go up to her? Why don't you say something? Do you understand something? Levity and calmness are not exactly my fortes. Now, I absolutely can be, but when it comes to, like, animals, or if it comes to, like, line cutting or things that, like, supremely piss me off, I can't go up to that lady. I don't know how that conversation's going to go.
Yeah, what if she yells and screams at you?
What if she yells and screams at me, and I'm like, listen, lady, I'm not the terrible human being. I don't know the way that's going to go.
Yes.
I can't roll those dice.
And you are a public figure, so you have to be extra special or careful.
Right,
when
and I have this face.
That
is
memorable.
I mean, I look like an extra from American History X, right? I look like Ethan Suplee's slightly skinnier Nazi cousin. I mean, I'm not. Clearly, you guys listen to the show. I'm just saying, I have a look. So my wife reminds me all the time. If a cop pulls you over for speeding, honey,
don't argue.
Be extra nice.
Yes.
I never would argue with a cop. It would just be like extra nice.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Here, sir. Here's my license that you didn't even ask for yet.
Yeah. Yeah. But if someone asked me something, just always be nice. Be extra nice. I tried to remember that. So I couldn't go up to that lady, but I could tweet about it and express from a distance my absolute disgust with humanity. Oh, speaking of disgust with humanity, I want to get back to the XFL.
This is the XFL.
God. The final rule that we're getting with the XFL, at least the one that stood out the most, two forward passes behind the line of scrimmage.
Right. Okay.
What does that mean?
I think that means you can run a screenplay where you throw it forward, but the guy is behind the line of scrimmage, and you could throw another one down the field. I mean, that's the way I would interpret that. So the quarterback drops back. Maybe he's in a shotgun. The slot receiver, maybe, or the receiver on the outside, will drop back behind the line of scrimmage to catch the pass.
I feel like, isn't that just like a trick play?
Yeah,
like,
but I don't think that's legal in the NFL, because I think once you throw it forward, even if it's behind the line of scrimmage, you can't throw it forward
again. It's a forward pass, right. Okay.
I'm not sure how that's going to work.
I don't either.
Of all the rules that they have, that's the trickiest one, because then you get into determining if it's a forward pass, if it's a lateral.
I think the XFL and Vince McMahon are vastly overestimating the desire for more football and these rule changes that they're implementing. Now, there are a couple. The dedicated ball spotting ref, yeah, I mean, that's something that should be in the NFL. It doesn't mean that you can build an entire league about it. Hey, guys, we got a ball spotting ref.
Yeah.
Come over here. What? What? You're still going to need the talent. You're still going to need the legitimacy. You're still going to need a natural pipeline for the XFL to lead to the NFL. And here's the problem. Forgive me, whoever that player was. Maybe it was Josh Jackson or whatever, the quarterback. Either way, Johnson. I don't know. Again, I shouldn't even have mentioned the kid's name. Point being, was there was an XFL player a few months ago that that had interest from NFL teams. That NFL teams. He has already signed with the XFL. NFL teams wanted to get a look at him because they were short on quarterback, whatever the case may be. XFL blocked it. That is a huge
mistake
and problem going forward, because the only way the XFL is going to survive is if we watch the XFL with the understanding and the hope that their players may one day end up in the NFL, because trying to make a niche for your own players and keeping them and draft whatever, I don't even know what they're thinking, it's not going to work. The NFL is even more of a behemoth than it was 20 years ago when you already tried to do this and you failed miserably. And honest to God, man, does this feel that different?
No.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It feels like you're just bringing back the XFL.
Now, the problem here is obviously Vince McMahon has too much money that he knows what to do with, because he's already failed once with this. But since the XFL, we have had multiple
It's a great point.
Leagues.
Arena football just shuttered its doors this year.
None of that, but remember NFL Europe?
Yes.
I mean, that was the NFL.
Yeah. And it was legit.
And you had, I think there were a few players who actually made it from NFL Europe to, I mean, I remember the Scotland Claymores and whatever the hell a Claymore is and the Berlin Dragons or whatever they were called, the Frankfurt. It was really popular in Germany, the Rhein Fire. They were like the popular team in Germany, but that failed. There's not a desire for more football.
And I really don't think there is.
And the other thing is, we get that with college football.
Yeah.
And these kids in college football have a legitimate path to the NFL. If you're preventing these guys from having a legitimate path to the league, then why are you even in existence?
Imagine this. You can be the practice squad for the Oakland Raiders, or you can come play in the XFL. Yeah. Like, all right, I'll be the practice squad for the Raiders. Yeah.
And you know, here's one way it could work. Allow kids to go from high school right to the XFL.
Yeah, potentially. But then that would, I mean, God, what would, I can't imagine any legitimate 18-year-old with any sort of hope or future in football to bypass college.
No, but if you are a guy who's a fringe player, not a superstar, maybe not a fringe player, but maybe a fringe NFL player.
I worry about the physicality and even being an 18 and what you would know. But I get your point. They're definitely going to need to do something other than the list that
they
ran
won't make
through.
It a year.
No, I agree with you. It's going to be a huge undertaking. I will say this about this XFL second, the redo. They got more money this time. Vince has invested more. He seems to have tried to learn from his failures the first time. I don't know. All right. It is trivia time. Your chance to go out and see Mickey and friends right here in Las Vegas. We got a couple family four packs that we're looking to give away at Disney on Ice. All you got to do is be one of the first two callers to chime in. 365-9200. 365-9200. All you got to do is tell me who the very first team in Golden Knights history was that we beat. Who was the first win in Vegas Golden Knights history against? The very first win in franchise history for your VGK. That is the question. The number is 365-9200. You call in, you give the answer, you win family four-pack to go out there and see Disney on Ice. We'll be right back. This is Mac and Tech.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, we only got one winner on our Disney family four-pack there. So if you want to call in and give us the very first opponent to be defeated in VGK history, who was the first win in Golden Knights history, you can call in right here, 365-9200, and win your chance. Not a win chance, you win. Family four-pack to see Disney on Ice. So there you go, 365-9200. Who was the first win in Vegas Golden Knights history? Harry and Meghan leaving the royal family, Magnum. Can you do that?
I don't know. Is that allowed?
I have no idea.
I will join if they have an opening. I will file my application.
You'll be the new baby?
Yes. I. You know what? I will gladly be Meghan Merkel's baby.
Baby Magnum. That would be weak.
Come I'm on, so man. Much older than her.
Yeah,
too.
I know. This is just getting weird.
I like him. I don't really know enough about her, but I think he's cool. Like, I would love to hang out with him.
Yeah,
I think he'd be a fun guy to party with.
I actually think both the kids, Harry and what was the other one? Charles? Harry? Well, either way. They both seem all right. They both seem like people that I would enjoy. Meghan was in Suits, that reality show. Or it wasn't a reality show. It was that show on like USA or TNT. And she's been pretty vocal over the last few years, or whatever, ever since the birth of their son or their daughter. I don't even know what they had. I'm terrible. But she's been pretty vocal about the pressures that the royal life puts on her and the expectations. And a lot of the racism that they've got. Because she was the first African-American to be brought into the royal family. It was a big deal, right? Sounds like. And she just did a recent interview, I want to say, over the past couple months ago, where she was talking about her mental health and how it was really wearing on her, and she thought she could handle it, but she wasn't so sure. And this feels like a move that was, on some level, waiting in the wings. But surprising. A little bit news of the day, ending on a pop culture note. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle leaving the royal family, potentially splitting their time between Canada and England. How many of us wish we could do that? Not leave our families, but be a part of a royal family. to leave to begin with. Imagine staying away, saying goodbye to all that money, all that inheritance. Good for you, you crazy kids. Go out there and live your life. We're going to go out here and live our best life. We'll be back tomorrow, 24 hours, friends. See you on the Mac Attack.